I'm Ace Hunt, and this is the market on the Nike 320 player. We are almost into April, which means in theory, City should be finalising this summer's transfer plans as we speak. Joining me to look into our crystal ball and see what the future might hold for the squad, I'm delighted to be joined by a big hitter, one of the biggest hitters, Lloyd Scragg. Lloyd, how are you, mate?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm good. Have you recovered from the John Stones news? I know that you wanted to discuss it. I know I told you that we're not going to discuss it, but I'll let you say something if it makes you feel better.
No, we can save it for Friday show and Arsenal chat. It was just the predictability of it was probably what was most annoying.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I know exactly what you mean.
What can you do? Max Southgate, evidently, but there we go.
Yeah, that's not going to happen anytime soon. Anyway, listen, we're not here to talk about that. Mm. We're here to talk about the squad, the summer. I think one of the things that has struck me in the last few weeks is that it feels almost like one of the most difficult summers to predict. Maybe one of the most difficult since Guardiola came in. And I think a lot of that is down to, and as we drill down into this, it'll become a little more obvious, but I think a lot of that has been down to a combination of injuries and form from players who maybe were in much better form last season. And then, you know, maybe a little bit of continued uncertainty around somebody like Bernardo. I think a lot of us had him going last summer, and the fact that he ended up not going and signing a new deal felt like it kind of changed the complexion of the summer somehow, and it felt like a signing. So it'll be interesting. Plus, there are some rumblings of City being prepared to sell two or three first team players this summer, which again, kind of from a freshening the squad up point of view, if you look at Gundo and Mahrez going, and you look at Jesus and Sterling and Zinny going the previous summer, it's not that outrageous to expect a couple of first team players to go this summer.
I agree, and I think, well, the season before last year, so before the season before the treble, there was loads of chat, wasn't there, about a lot of senior players leaving, and no one really left who was like big dog. Obviously last season Gundo and Mahrez left, and I think we've really felt the effects of that this season, mainly because particularly Gundo, I don't think has been replaced. So I do expect there will be a few more this season, but hopefully we don't lose two guys of kind of Mahrez Gundo level again, because it is difficult to recover from that. And I feel like the squad is a bit short anyway. So it feels like we need not just more quality, but I think we need, as we've discussed on these previous pods, probably one or two extra just generally.
I've got a question for you, which isn't on the agenda, and I'm going to throw this hand grenade at you really early in the podcast. Much is often made of how good our recruitment is. And I'm curious whether the last couple of years, I'm going to go further back. So let's look at the last 4 years. Do you think that the hype around our recruitment is justified? Is it at that level that people say that it's at?
I would say I need to bring up the signings from the last few summers, but off the top of my head, without it in front of me, I would say that the last kind of two or three summers have maybe not been at the level as the earlier kind of Guardiola seasons. Now, there's been some really good kind of ID buys in there. So I think one, for example, is Akanji, has been actually brilliant and turned out, I think, a better player than most fans would have predicted, and great value for money, and also probably a better player than, you know, if you ask Dortmund fans at the time, I think where he's rated now versus then is quite different. And then you've had someone like Alvarez, where you've plucked them kind of clean out the South American leagues, and you know, as much as he's had his detractors, and I think rightly so this season, a lot of that isn't down to him, and actually that's another really astute buy. But there have been a few over the last few seasons where it feels like we've missed the mark a little more than maybe previously, I would say. But I'd need to look at the
Let me give you some names, right? So 1920, players who are still at the club, Rodri and João Cancelo. Players who aren't at the club, Angelino, Pedro Porro, Zach Steffen. 2021, Diaz Ake, still at the club. Torres, Couto, Kabore, no longer at the club. 21-22, Grealish, Alvarez, but obviously Alvarez comes later in the season. Nobody came in who was no longer at the club. 22-23, Haaland, Phillips, Akanji, Gomez, Ortega. Peroni is no longer at the club. He's out on loan, obviously, but... And then 23-24, Gvardiol, Nunes, Doku, Kovacic. Yeah. So, I mean, I would say there's obviously some hits in there, but in terms of the total outlay for those players, I think our recruitment in general is a little bit overhyped. And I think that that's probably backed up by the fact that so much of what we consider to be the core of this squad and key players and players that we can't lose to injury predate that list of players going back 4 years. Would you
think that's right? Yeah, yeah.
Dispute any of that?
No, I wouldn't. That's kind of how it felt as well when you asked me without anything in front of me. Like, if you think about, you know, if we think about just key players in the team, and obviously, you know, guys take time. So people like, I'm sure people like Doku and, you know, Gvardiol will become key players. And, you know, they are more kind of long-term signings. But if you think about key guys, you think about Walker, Stones, obviously Diaz, Rodri, you know, Bernardo, De Bruyne, Phil.
Foden.
You know, quite a lot of those guys are probably pre that list, aren't they?
Mm.
You know, Haaland... You put in there that's a newer signing, you know, Grealish when he's available, newer signing. But I think the thing that stood out to me there, though, is that there have been a few, like, the Gomez buy was just weird, wasn't it, at the time? Do you know when Zinchenko left and we were signing a guy that was just felt like it was never going to be an option? And obviously that's where we've ended up. So I think for me, the summer, those 4 summers, it's probably more tainted by... I just don't think we did a good job last summer. And we said that at the time. So it's not revisionism. You know, as I said, Gvardiol and Doku, more long-term signings. But, you know, I'm a fan of Kovacic, but objectively, him and Nunes was just, it was a bit odd, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think my sort of, I guess the kind of, my wider worry is probably more just to do with, like, so I don't necessarily think that, you know, we buy badly. That's absolutely not what I'm trying to say. On the contrary, yeah, we bought some absolutely top-class players that could be at the club for a long, long time. I just think that there's buying good players and there's identifying where you're potentially going to be weak and buying players for those positions. And those two things, for me, are subtly different things. So I sort of feel as though almost going back 2 years or 3 years, you're kind of looking at the centre midfield and you're going, you know, we should, I mean, Bernardo Silva wanted to leave pre-COVID, right? So we've had this kind of hanging over our head for a while, the idea that Bernardo wants out. And yet there hasn't really been a lot of action in terms of going, okay, well, let's now refresh that center midfield area. And maybe it's, you know, maybe I'm framing this in a certain way to make the point that I particularly want to make, but I definitely feel as though we've done a little bit of sleepwalking in the previous 2 summers to allow ourselves to get to last summer, where Gundo walks out the door and you don't get Bellingham, and you don't get Rice, and you don't get Paqueta, and then you get to the bottom of the list. And I'm not saying that Kovacic and Nunes are terrible players, but you're kind of buying from the bottom of your list. And objectively, people on the outside are looking at it and going, well, neither of those two are walking into the first team. And so that's a little bit where that's a little bit where I'm a little bit like, you know, Alvarez is a great buy, but you buy Alvarez and Haaland more or less at the same time. So that's not, you know, you see what I'm driving at? That
Go on. I think that was kind of going to be my next point, and we're going to cover it as we go through this podcast. But I think for City, having Kovacic and Nunes this season, as in going into next season, so in the summer, I think it could be a problem, actually, because I think you're going to struggle to shift either of them. If Bernardo goes, then I think that's when it becomes a problem, having lost Gundogan the previous summer. I don't think you've replaced him. De Bruyne's injury record right now is looking, you know, pretty shaky. I think it was always going to happen that he was going to have some niggles, you know, as Pep likes to call it, after such a long injury. But he's going to be 33 next season. He's not someone you can rely on for, you know, 3,000 minutes in a season, is he? So, I mean, we'll come to it, but I think City almost need to bite the bullet and move one of them on in the summer.
Well, look, I'm going to start by asking to start by. Has your opinion of the squad's relative quality changed since the start of the season?
No, I think it's probably stayed roughly about the same. I'd say certain players have gone up and down in my estimation. So I think, for example, I think Doku has been better than I expected this season, even though he's not been kind of setting the world alight in the last couple of months. I think Ortega has proved himself to be an absolutely outrageous backup goalkeeper, to be honest. But equally, I think, you know, someone like Walker, I think his level has probably dipped across the season. We've just gotten less football out of De Bruyne because of the big injury. And I would say someone like Gvardiol maybe wasn't at the top level that I thought he was when he signed. So I think he's been a little bit worse than I'd have hoped. But, you know, I'm not worried about that. It's kind of first season adaptation period. So players have generally gone up and down. But I always thought coming into this season, we weren't just short in numbers, which I think has kind of proven itself. And if you look at City's squad, and I mean bench, for a lot of Premier League games this season, we've really gone through a lot with, you know, quite a few kids on the bench that most fans at the ground haven't heard of. And I think central midfield was obviously the big problem. I don't think we solved it. And I think you can, to be honest, I think that's demonstrated by the amount of Premier League minutes that both Kovacic and Nunes have played this season, despite the absentees.
Well, I think it's an interesting way to begin to sort of drill down a little bit into how the season has gone from a squad point of view and minutes players have played and how that maybe affects how we deal with the summer. So 2,000 plus minutes, and this is highest
in the league,
across all competitions, right? So 2,000 plus minutes, highest to lowest. So Foden has played the most minutes in the squad, then Walker, then Rodri, then Edison, then Ruben Dias, then Julian Alvarez, then Erling Haaland, then Bernardo, then Akanji, then Ake, and then Gvardiol. I guess the thing that jumped out at me immediately was like, okay, so there's only one midfield player in there in Rodri. Bernardo has played almost exclusively on the right, and Foden has played almost exclusively as a 10, and when he's not playing as a 10, he's playing on one of the wings. So there's one kind of what I would consider to be a recognized midfield player in that 2,000 plus minutes. Then 2,000 down to 1,000, you've got Kovacic, Doku, Grealish, Stones, Rico Lewis, and Mateus Nunes. And again, that's in order. So Kovacic has played the closest to 2,000, then Doku, then Grealish, then Stones, then Rico, and then Nunes. And then finally, the 0 to 1,000 minutes, you've got, or 1,000 to 0, you've got Ortega, KDB, Oscar Bob, Gomez, and Calvin Phillips. So the thing I'm going to start by asking you is a little bit counterintuitive, because it's a podcast mainly about incoming transfers. But From those three lists that I've given you, who do you expect to play more minutes next season?
Thanks for listening to the first 15 minutes of the show. To listen to the full podcast and all our content, including reviews, previews, analysis, quizzes, and much more, go to 9320.com to sign up now, or simply click the link in the description. So what are you waiting for? Go to 9320.com now for the best, most passionate, impartial coverage of Manchester City and beyond.